All things are possible. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. I had this song in my heart yesterday or today, and I was going to sing it at the end or at the beginning, but what was the ads that, you know, the Holy Spirit, God himself, actually put the title of my preaching, what it says? I was going to preach on belief. What makes you a believer is that you can believe. So what is the odd that God will? I mean, it wasn't me. I cannot manufacture anything. But see, God always confirms what he's doing, his work. See? It's just as awesome. It's just as, you know, mind-boggling to me like it's to you too. How a God so big, so great can do for me, just a little guy, nobody. He can do this for me. So you are for a treat, I guess. If that's all it means. Live as a believer. If you can believe, all things are possible. So let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. Father, we don't have to ask you. We don't have to beg. You're already here. With two or three gathered together, you said that your presence will be here. And right now, your presence is here, Father. And you are having control from the pulpit to the back door, Father. Father, even before we started the service, Father, we are in awe when we're standing in this pulpit, you know, a human being, that, you know, just a vessel of clay, Father. But Father, what you are the one that gives us the strength. You are the one that gives us, Father, all that we have need, Father, to continue. Nothing in ourselves. So tonight, Father, bless your people. Those that are sick, Father, we ask you to go and minister to them, Father. Be with our pastor and Jennifer, Father. Give them a good night rest, Father. Father, we ask you to be with your little bride around the world. Cover her, Lord. Protect her, keep her from that evil one. Father, let your unction come. It's already here, Father. Father, take this lips of clay, Father. I'm using it for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. One scripture here, right quick, before we sit down. In 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. If you believe what you believe and you believe in the message, you should walk according of what you believe tonight. But God has distributed to every man everything that you have need. He has done that for you. So you don't have to try to do it, because the God that is in you has given you everything that you have need from to go from earth all the way to heaven. We just need to walk. Make our mind surrender that we are going to walk the walk. And so ordain in our churches. Wow. He laid down the rule. This is not just for them. I mean, if you believe that Paul was the first one, the first prophet, the first age. I mean, I'm sorry, he wrote the entire New Testament. Then that you believe that this is for us too today. Yeah. This is the law to walk according to what we believe. And according of the place and position and the gift that God has given you. Amen. Now, I like the NIV, and this is what we are talking about. This is our theme. Nevertheless, each person should live as what? That's our walk. Right. And in whatever situation the Lord has assigned. Amen. To them, just as God has called you. You must walk. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. So God has this distribute. He has a spread out himself. You can be seated. God has distributed. God has spread out himself equally among us. What I mean equally, it don't mean that we all have the same things. We have different gifts. Ministers, the deacons, you know, teachers, musicians, you know, we have different, God has called for different things. But he has equally, you know. God is fair, you know. God don't leave nobody behind. He has called us to, so we can be believers. In whatever situation we find ourselves, whatever place, whatever place, position, and whatever gift we have. Amen. So God has done that proportionally. He has shared a measurement. Because we not all have the total. Jesus was the only one that was the fullness of God. He has the whole enchilada, right? You have a portion. And your portion maybe is not the same I have. Different measurements. Some preachers, some deacons, some have different gifts. But hasn't given you a measurement of that faith. See? So, we need to use whatever God has given us. We need to find out what it is. And you say, but I don't have any gift. Well, I haven't figured it out. Well, if you haven't figured it out, I want to tell you that you have at least one gift. And the Bible says that God has given you the gift of faith. I mean, what else do you need? With faith, you can please God. With faith, you can move mountains. So at least you have faith. Because that's a gift of God, not of yourself. So with that gift, you can start changing things, you know. So God has given us a measurement, a part of himself. He has distributed himself in each one, a little, you know, God is in you, God is in you, God is in you. Proportionally, he has put himself in every one of us. So one, to help us live the life that he wants us to believe tonight. Because we cannot do it on ourselves. We need him. We need his faith. See? We need the spirit that makes the word come to action. God says it, we believe it, and who brings it to pass? Not you. God, through the Holy Spirit, acts. God has spoke, and the Spirit went out and did his actions. Amen? And we need one another because we don't have all, you know, the whole thing, the whole measurement. That's why God did it. This is a body move. So he put a little bit there and a little bit there and a little bit there so we can depend on one another. So you need to understand that this is not just you. You're not an island unto yourself. The reason has God has distributed himself is so we can ask for help from one another. So you're not going to make it by yourself anyway. You need me and I need you and we need each other. So this is a body move. The only one that God gave all was Jesus Christ. He has all the measure. He emptied himself. He poured himself completely in him. But when we get together, what do? We bring Christ in the scene. We bring God in the scene. When we come locally as a church, God has put everything that we have need in this church. He says, as he has distributed himself. Listen, we don't need to look at another church with another program. Okay, we don't have a program, music program. We don't have a big, youth program. But everything that we have need locally right here, God already has distributed that in every one of us so we can come together and get the, you know, work of God done. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we look at other churches. Listen, The same way God has put himself in this church and he has given us everything that we have need to carry on his work, he has done that with every other church. If he decided to give La Fontaine a music ministry that is known all over the world, that's God. That's for them. But if we start looking at that, well, we don't have that, then what are you, you know, you get it stepping out of your you know, position and your place. That's not your position, your place. Everything that you have need is here, right now. Why are you looking in the other side of the fence that is greener? Well, that's not my preaching, but somebody needed that. The way God has put all gifts, giving you everything that you have need, he has done that with every other church. But sometimes they have a little bit more, and sometimes a little bit less. But nevertheless, what we have need is here. That's why we don't need to be going and looking here and going there after this ministry, after that ministry. We are wasting the time. Because the work, I'm going to show you as I go, the work is that he wants to do is here. I'm going to show it to you from the scripture and from the message. So anyway, got out of my preaching. So therefore, we should live what we believe. And whatever God has bestowed here in this, that's what we should, you know, go after. And that's it. Keep our eyes focused on our responsibility, our duty. You should know your position. You should know your place. You should know your gift. So work. All together we come. So the word of God will be fulfilled in our midst. So I want to do something a little bit orthodox here anyway. It's not going to work in the Spanish. I am sorry. I want to tell you what the characteristic or qualities of a believer is. Because sometimes we call ourselves believers and we believe, but what do we believe? And if I ask every one of you, everybody going to give me a different answer or similar or the same. And there's not just one thing or two things or 12 things. It's a lot of things to be a believer. But we won't be able to do that, you know, in the course of just an hour and a half. So I chose 7 things. I like 7. 7 is completion. Then you can add the rest of it as you go and meditate in the message. You can add all the rest of them. And I want to do something different. I want to use the word believe, every letter of the word believe, 7 of them, to illustrate my point. Amen. So this is what believe is going to look like. Stop. Balance. The first word in believe. The second is E, I, love, image, everlasting, victor, a victorious, and expectation. I think with those 7 words, I can cover just about what believe is. We just sung Only Believe. That was the theme of Brother Branham's campaign, Only Believe. But what do we live in? I mean, you go to work and you go to school or you go to whatever, and people looked at you and might ask you, you look like you're a Christian. So what do you believe? So what do you tell them? Well, I just believe in God. Well, it's a lot of denominations that believe in God. Well, I believe in the word of God. I believe in, okay, well, they use the same Bible you use. What makes you different that, you know, than the, what do you believe? That's what I want to, you know, end up trying to speak about, you know, this, that's the scope of my preaching. What do we believe? Therefore, we should live what we believe. Because if you know what you believe, then you can live it. Okay? So, don't get quiet on me yet. First one, let's continue. Balance. Balance. You like the scheme? No, don't worry about that. Balance. I just wanted to keep track of the whole thing. So, we know what balance is. Balance is something that we distribute, you know, an even distribution of weight. You know, the kind of balance that I'm talking about here, you know, is the one that has 2 plates, you know, those balance. So, and something remain all, upright always. You know, it has to be, when it's balanced, it has to be even. You know, you put weights over here, then you put whatever you buy, the meat, the hamburger, or whatever, and then it has to what? Balance. And this is my first thing in believing. You have to be balanced. Because balance brings stability. That's why you see many people going to and fro. They're not stable enough. Why? Because they're not balanced. They sway anywhere, left or right, they're going. Why? You know, if you do that, the balance will go either way. So we have to be balanced. We have to be steady. See? We have to be in equilibrium all the time. If not, Satan can come and sway us to go either way. And you said that will not happen. You know, he will try. Anyway, so when I was bringing my family, one of my things that I always made it a priority was stability. I don't know why. But I think a family should be stable. You know, my kids never asked me, we're going to church? No, Wednesday I got ready, we got in the car on Sundays and we went to church. Why? Because I was stable. That was what we did. They didn't have to ask. They knew what was happening. And all my life I tried to create an environment in my home that would be stable, because later on children will appreciate that. Your children will tell you later on, thank you, Father, for providing a stable home. You don't provide a stable home, you know what the kids do? They don't know if they're going and coming. Well, today my dad went to church, tomorrow, oh, yeah, we go again. Today he went to church, tomorrow he said, well, I'm going to another church, or well, I'm not going to go. So what do you think the kids are going to do later on? There's no stability. You need to show them, you know, that you have to be balanced. And you're not running after this or running after that and getting nowhere. Now, you can go one church and you find that you can become stable. But if God tells you to move, move. I mean, I'm not saying that God cannot move you. I know many families, they have moved to different states. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about having a family that is stable in everything that you do, provide stability for the family. So later on, you don't have to question yourself, why are they doing that? You know, sometimes it's difficult to keep a family in equilibrium always. Steady, always going. But I try not to rock, you know, make sure that the boat don't get rocked, you know, either way, left or right. Trying to run a family that was stable all the time. Because sooner or later I knew that they needed that. As a child, they needed to be stable. And I needed to show them what that is. So I thank God for that. I know he gave it to me in the early, I wasn't even a Christian, but I thought that was a good thing to do always. When I became a Christian, then it became more noticeable. See? So, being in balance, it's just, you know, we call ourselves eagles. Can you imagine trying to fly with one wing? Would you get in the airplane and one of the wings are missing and you think you're going to go anywhere? Yeah, that's the only way you go down. So you know how to be balanced. You need the New Testament and you need the Old Testament. And you need to run everything to the Bible. Amen. Don't just lean to your own understanding. Run everything from the New Testament to the Old Testament. Like Brother Branham says, that's your filter. Filter everything to the Bible. Because if you want to fly, and you want to fly to the sky, and you want to just get way higher there, you know, higher places, that's what God wants us to be moving, to higher places. We're not earthly bound. We need to move up, but you're going to have to be balanced. Can you imagine one wing wants to go up and the other one wants to go down? So a lot of people, you know, they go to and fro because they're not balanced. They might believe the New Testament. A lot of people are there in denomination, they don't believe the Old Testament. Why do we have to use skirts? Why? In the New Testament, there's nothing like that. Where do you cut my hair? Where is it at? Well, see, they want to fly with one. Okay, I think they're going around like this. You know, like an airplane when it loses a thing. So we need to be balanced. Run everything to the Bible. See? Like a bird, you know, you need to have the two wings to balance yourself. So, and that's right, because without it, forget it. So Brother Branham says in this exposition of the seven church age, Smyrna, he says, yet for all these great testimonies, these students of John Revelator was not a militant against the Nicolaitan system, for he himself leaned towards organization. Now, Brother Branham chose this, reformer and every prophet of the seven-day churches. And he said, this is what I use. He used his own way, you know, method through the Bible, of course, by the leading of the Holy Ghost. So the first church, he had Irenaeus, and the other one was Polycarp. So he says he didn't choose Polycarp, even though he was a student of John, and he was well known and well received. But the thing was that he just kind of what? Leans into organization. But you don't have to go too far to lose balance. I mean, you see the guys in the tall rope, they walk the rope and they have this big, long, whatever. Don't take too much to fall. That's why you have to have that, they have that because they need to balance themselves. So it don't take too much. So don't lean in your own understanding. Make sure that whatever you do, you can run it to the Bible. Make sure that it's the word of God. Make sure that what you want and what you pray about it, Lord, I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to choose a church. You have to choose a church as you choose a bride. Because when you choose a church, you know, you want to sit and give it you all, you know. Like choosing a bride. You know, when I chose my bride and we got married, that was a choice. I don't have no other choice. That was my only choice and it's still my choice. The other day we were talking about that. And she said, are you going to pick up something? She said that, but I tried to be funny. I said, no, I already picked you up. I don't need to pick up anything else. I'm done picking up. You know, and that's the same thing with a church. You should pick a church as you pick a bride. You know? But how I know that I'm going to like, well, then don't go. Because anytime you're looking from your own understanding, you're leaning in your own thoughts and in your own ideas, you can go, but it's not going to, I'm assure you it's not going to work. Just like a bad marriage, it's going to happen. Anyway, here I'm out of my thing again. So leaning, just to lean. Now, Joshua 23:6 says, be ye therefore courageous. Thank you, brother. I'm fumbling all the words since I started. To keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye do not turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. So he told Joshua, you know, be steady. You know, you need to be firm, you know. You need to be in equilibrium. I'm going to choose you, but I want you to hold this word, the will of God, and do not turn to what? To the left, and do not turn to the right. A well-balanced Christian, believer, it doesn't matter what comes to situation, you find yourself, we will never go chasing dreams. Oh, what I think in that church, I'm going to have a nice program. Well, I don't know. In the other, you know what? I don't think you chose the church, you know, the way you should have chose a church. But the brand says in oneness. For I believe that is the way we should do always. Now, do always. Not just in some instances or in some occasion. Do always. He said, do always. Weigh things with what? With the word. Run it through the Old Testament. Listen, there's three God in the New Testament and there's one God in the Old Testament. We've been fussing about that with the denomination for years. Why? Because they're all looking at what win. You know, they're looking at weighing things with the New Testament. They don't want to look at the Old Testament. I'm the Lord thy God is one God and there's no one beside me. You cannot leave that behind. But they do. No, God is three. And we fuss all the time because I can say this is the one. And they don't have a revelation to put it all together. But see, waiting is with the word, because the word is the only thing that will be able to what? So any idea, any thought that you can bring to the table, it's just a filthy rag. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get me anywhere. Jesus said, both heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. That's why I believe it. Here we go. And to believe is to be God's program. To believe this message, to believe God, that is the program that I am on. With the revelation that God gives. I believe that that is the finished work of God wrote out in the Word. Therefore, it is, if anything would be contrary to that Word, leave it alone. Because it's left or right. They're trying to, you know, Satan trying to entice. If you don't, if you run it and it's not, it's contrary, leave it alone. If it is, do it. If it's not, don't do it. That's how easy it is. If it could not be God or God's plan for our lives. I believe, again, 1, 2, 3, 4 is the program. He says, you know what? That is our program. What is the program in love divine? That we believe the word. That is my program, and to fulfill God's program. Now, the Spirit of God in the Word makes the Word live in itself. You don't have to make it live, because the Word, if you believe, you have faith, the Holy Spirit will make that Word live in you. All we have to do is surrender and yield to the Spirit of God. God will take care of the rest. He has done, put anything that you have need right now to change you, to make you, to shape you, to form you into His image. Yeah, I'm ahead of my team. I believe it is a program. Now, the Spirit of God in the Word makes the Word live in self. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you believe and you're a believer and you have faith, then just wait, because God will make His Word in you. He don't speak in vain. The word is not coming back in vain. If you are what He said you are, it has to happen. Yeah. But we just have to surrender. We just have to believe it. Right. And then just do what we need to do. I believe it is a program. Now, the Spirit of God says, it says, the word live himself, act himself out. Remember I told you last week about faith and action? So if you have faith, the Holy Spirit will make that word act itself in you. It brings the word to what? To life. That's what I want, like a seed. Amen. Second, quickly, I need to move. Another thing about balance. Balance, you got two different elements, you know, and they are equal in proportion. Maybe they are two different things. They have to be the same rocks or meat or potatoes. It could be, you know, you can do anything. In this side, you got weights. In this side, you got something else. But they have to be in the correct proportion. If not, it's going to be off balance, right? So what I'm talking about here, that we have to be fairness. A balance has to be fair. You remember in the days of Jesus, they used to rig the balance so they can get more money. I don't know how they used to rig it, but they used a different plate in the other side, you know, that weighed a little bit more so they can get less for more. See? And Jesus scolded them for that, you know. But see, you and I, we have to be fair. Balance. The way you treat you BFF, you should treat everybody else. If you cannot be fair with everybody as you are fair with the one that you love, then the pagans do the same thing. We need to be fair. And that is balance. It means what you do to this person in the congregation, I don't care if you love this one more and you love this one less, but you need to be fair when you treat them both. With the same kindness, with the same patience. You don't have no choice in the matter. If you are a believer, you are balanced. Justice. God is just. Remember that thing that they have in the courthouse? Not only they have it here, but I've seen it with the with this stature and the blindfold women and has a balance in one side. I think it's in front of the court. It says the, it says justice is what? Blind. And then she has a balance. See? Justice is fair. But you know it's not fair. But it's supposed to be fair. In church, it should be fair. You know, God is just. And God has respect of every person. God do not just respect some and disrespect some other one. Or look up at someone and look down at other. God don't do that. God don't look at color. God don't discriminate. He's not impartial. He don't discriminate. He's not prejudiced. I don't care what color it is. It's fair. Whatever he do to one, he do to other one. You know why? Because God don't look at colors. He look at your faith. And if you have the same faith this guy have, he will do the same thing for you that he did for her and for him. God don't say, but even God goes even further. He said, love your enemy. If somebody out there that don't believe in God, don't go to church, get sick or something and decide to believe, God will heal. Because God is not looking at the person or the situation. God is looking at the faith. And if they, could be a him or her, can muster the same faith you have, God will say, well, I cannot do it. You're not a believer. See, that's respecting him. But God don't, the only thing that God respects is his faith. That's all. And you should do the same. Be just. Be fair. We are an equal opportunity. You know? Abusers? No. We don't abuse everybody equally. We should be kind to everybody equally. You know, we should be nice to everybody equally. We should be care for one another equally. In fact, if you want to go further than that, the Bible said, love your enemy. Remember that guy that was beaten in the road and they took everything, they robbed them, and three people came by and a Jewish and a Samaritan, and then at the end, some, probably the Samaritan, and one said, well, I don't have no time. I got to preach today. And the other one said, well, I don't know. I better not get involved. But the one that they don't even have any relation, any connection there in between the Samaritans and the Jews, they can't even look at each other. Brother Andy was saying that they go around Samaria because that's how bad they feel about them. But he took care of him, right? See, he was an equal opportunity, Christian, believer. It doesn't matter who he was, Christian or not Christian, your color or not your color, who cares? It's a need. And as a believer, that's what we do, okay? Because that's what God did for you. How can now we do it for someone else? Brother Van says, therefore, the time for repentance for a nation is gone. This nation is gone. You're not going to find fairness. You're not going to find justice. Impartiality. You're not going to find nothing. But that's where you come in. You should be, and I should be, as a body or as a local church, we should be putting all these things forward as a fruit of God in us. We should be that way. I believe that this nation cannot repent. I believe that it's crossed the line between mercy and judgment. I believe she is totally in the balance. Brother Brown said, God and the Gentile days are ended. That's where we are right now. The handwriting is on the wall. The spiritual gift is in the church to those who purpose in their heart. Mene, mene, teko, whatever. See, we have weighed in the balance and found what? One thing. I don't want God to say that about love divine. I don't want God to say that about me. And sometimes I'm in prayer and I feel like, sorry, Lord, I think you have weighed me and I'm not wanting. You know, we need to examine our lives. Are we in balance? Or out of balance? Quickly, the next one. I, in belief, is the I. Eyes. Now, Brother John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you. Oh, you don't belong there. Well, I made a mistake. Hold on. Made a mistake. Because supposed to be I, not love. Okay, let's drop to Matthew 6:22. I don't know what happened, but anyway. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is single, be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Amen. So, Brother Branham says, God's way that being made for us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See? And his righteousness. That is what we need to focus ourselves. Our eyes should be in things above. Hallelujah, he said, and these other things will be added unto you. 108, how am I going to do it, Brother Billy, Bill? Just go ahead and do it. Jesus said, follow me. That's right. Keep your eye single. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted, seduced, to go left or to go right, seduced from the simplicity that is in what? In Christ. So, we need to stay focused. We need to be single. And that means God said it, I believe it, and that settles. That's how simple it is. Don't try to make it harder because it's not that hard. Amen. So, the eye, keep your eyes single, mean you are simple. You know, focus on one thing, focus on Christ. You know, I don't know if you've seen the lighthouse and how it works. I know you do, Brother Branham explains it. If a boat, if a ship is coming way out there in the ocean, you know, a few miles away, and it's coming into the harbor, they have this lighthouse. And he will line up himself with that light in order to make it to the harbor without having to get into reefs and rocks and things. And the way the light will get you there, will guide you, is depending what position you are coming. If you weigh in the left or the right, you're going to see three lights. You know, when this thing is turning, you're going to see three lights, even though it's just one light, but they have glasses that will reflect, you know, two more lights. But as soon as you start coming into balance, then it becomes one light. You follow that light all the way to the harbor. And that's what your eye has to be single. When you start reading the Bible, you know, your eyes should be single. We should be looking only at the Word of God and nothing else. You know, sometimes we get ideas and Satan wants to seduce us from that simplicity. But we need to keep our eye on the light. And what light is that? The light of the gospel. If he said it, I do it. If he don't, I don't do it. That's how simple it is. But sometimes we want to justify, you know, what we want to do. And we're not walking with a single eye. We're looking at too many eyes, too many lights, you know, going around. So keep your eyes single. Sometimes, Brother Brown talks about the three lights coming in a single light, you know. Okay. Let's say you want to do something, and you're asking God, you're searching, you're knocking, something. Now, Brother Branham says, and the Bible says, the way this works is three lights, like three lights. The first one is desire. If God give you a desire to do something, if God give you a desire to move someplace, if God say you desire to go to hear somebody, if whatever desire God give you, if it's God giving desire, then the next light is that he's going to make a way for you. If you try to make a way, sometimes we're trying to justify, sometimes we're trying to, you know, take advantage, you know, for our own benefit, and we try to just kind of manipulate things. We don't manipulate things. But if we have a desire, and it's a true desire from God, then wait for God to make a way for you. And the other light is he will open the door. So if those three lights don't line up, stay out of it. But if those light will line up in a single light, then do it with all your heart. Because he will give you the desire, and he will give you the do, and he will give you everything that you need. He will make a way for you. And he will open that door. So those three lights become single. You understand what I mean? I'm not making it too difficult. Amen. Brother Brown says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll read you that one. Second Corinthians says simplicity. Now, Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things what? Above. High things. Not in the things of what? Of the earth. You know, we are eagles. And we are heavenly bound. We are not chickens. Trying to peck at there, you know. In the earth, air bounds. So our affections, what is affection? To direct one's mind to something, to a thing. To seek with all your heart. To strive with all you have. See? To look at higher things. So that is our affection. That means your soul, your body, your spirit should be set with one goal and one goal only. Is to seek God. And that's it. And if God approves it, it's good. If it's not, then leave it alone. Amen? So our affection on things above, not on things what? On the earth. You know, we can either serve mammon or God. Money or God. Or pleasures of God. But we got to make a decision. Because we cannot serve two masters. Whatever your heart is, whatever your eye is, that's where you're going to go. That's where we're going to live. So we cannot serve two masters. We have to make our mind. We need to keep our eyes on things above. That is God. Amen. We need to fix our affections on him and him only and not in other objects. You know, well, but they did this to me. Oh, your eyes is going the wrong way now. Well, I'm feeling your eyes are going the wrong way. What did God say anyway? God said that he will help you, that he will lead you, that he will guide you. God said you need to love your enemy. Yes, the people are gonna say false things out of you. They're going to do things that, you know, they're going to rob you the wrong way. But that doesn't matter. You keep your eye on things above. Amen. You still love them. You still care for them. You cannot, remember, you cannot just, okay, I love this one, but I don't even want to see him in a picture. There's some people there. In fact, you should try to do more for the people that we dislike than the people that you like. Try that, see if it works. Sure. But the only problem is that you guys don't have any enemy. I don't know what you're going to do. To love everybody. So it's going to be difficult. So higher things. So affection will be fixed only on him and not in another subject. We need to love God. We need to love his word. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. We need to walk in the spirit. Because we are dead. And our life is hid in Christ. Simplicity. That's what we aim for. Brother Branham, before the seals were opened, the first sermon he preached was what? Simplicity. God in simplicity. Don't make it difficult. Let's walk the straight line. The narrow way. You know, the narrow way, you don't have too much, you know, way to go. I mean, it's so narrow that, you know, the parameters are so tight. You know, sometimes people in church says, but I don't have that church. They don't let me do anything. You know, this message, the parameters are tight. Limit. The limits are tight. Because God don't want you to go left or right. And if you go left or right, you're going to bump on his word. And God is going to remind you. No, you cannot go over. Now, if we want to do the wide road, then the parameters are so wide that you can go so far and do just as much as you want to before you hit the bumper, the limit. But I'm glad that God keep us in a hedge, you know, keep us confined. I'm glad that he protects us because he's so for our protection. And that light, we regulate our lives. If we let that light, and we are obedient to Christ and that straight line, and we put our affections in him. Now, let me see what I did here. Okay, let me go back up because that's what you're trying to work on this thing. Let's go to, we should be in love. I mean, we should be in the word love, but we should be in love too. Here we go. Balance, eyes, love. The next characteristic of one that believes. Matthew 27, 22, 37, 39. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He didn't leave anything out. That is you completely, your whole being. You have to look out with your whole being completely. You cannot decide to choose what part of me is going to love God. Either it's all or nothing. A believer will love God with all your affections and desires towards him. Amen. And the 38 says, this is the first and great commandment. Listen, it's not an option like you buy a car and you want air conditioning or not. You better have air conditioning in Tucson. I bought my first car. I bought my wife. I was dating. We were dating and I wanted to impress her that I had money. Well, you know, confess sin is good for your soul. Anyway, we was just dating. I was in Georgia and she was here. So I came over here and I found out that she was going to work and she don't have a car. She was borrowing a car, taking the bus. So I said, hey, let's come buy a car. I don't know what she thought about me, but I said, let's come buy a car. Either the guy's crazy or whatever. Anyway, so we went to Jim Click when they used to be in Broadway. It was just a little lot. Now she has the auto mall. I'm talking about 40 years ago or more. So I've been in Tucson that long. So I'm a Tucsonian by now. I'm not a Puerto Rican. I'm a Tucsonian. Anyway, so I bought her a car, and I gave her the down payment, of course, and everything, and she made the payments. But we went over there, and then I said, well, you know, what I'm telling you this for, I don't know. I said it was a great commandment, right? And I told you that it's an option. And I forgot what I would tell you the story. Anyway. Huh? The what? Oh, yeah, the air conditioning in Tucson. Thank you. I lost my truck. Anyway, so when you get old, that's what happened. Anyway, but I don't want to admit it. So I didn't know about Tucson. That's the first time I've been in Tucson, you know. I just came to visit, then I leave. And I bought the first car with an air condition. But now I know I made a big mistake. I didn't know that it's 100, 110 degrees. See, I don't know. She drove it like that. I don't know. She got a big piece of ice cube or something and threw it in the back. I don't know. But my, I cannot live with air condition now, not in Tucson. So anyway, first commandment is a great commandment. That's just the first commandment. That means it's not an option. You know, like buying a car with air condition. That's what I got started. I went that way. Yes. But the second is another commandment like that. He said, thou shalt love thy what? You ain't got no option. Your option is to do it, and that's all. God didn't give you no options. You know, like you buy a car and you want an automatic transmission or manual transmission. You don't have no options here. Or a radio, no radio. Or you cannot afford an automatic transmission because you don't have the money. This is not that you can afford or not afford. You're just going to do it. Period. You have no choice in the matter. Amen. Ephesians 3:17 says, time goes like, that Christ may dwell in you heart by faith. And that you being rooted and grounded in love. Love is the medium that the bride will move. The body of Christ is joined by love, every joint. Yeah. And we move in that medium of love. Everything that we do may be done in love, you know. If you do it otherwise, it's selfishness anyway. Brother Brown says, for where there is tongues, they shall cease. Where is prophecy, it shall fail. Where is all these other things, they will fail. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in power will done away. See, that perfect. What's perfect? Love. What is love? God. You know that this journey, what you God trying to do for you to be like him, so the more closer you get to the end of this journey, you should be loving even more and more and more. We just seen, you know, we love Jesus. How much do you love Jesus? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. But I'm telling you something. The journey is to reproduce God in you. God is love. So the closer, if you tell me that you've been in this mission for 40 years and you are whatever, Mr. Guru, I don't want to hear a word. I want to see a sermon preached. I want to see your love. How you treat me, how you treat everybody else. With kindness, you know. Treating everybody else with respect. He says, what is love? God. Let us lay aside all these little dead works and ordinance and go on to what? Perfection. You see, we are perfect through Christ. How do we get in there? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Brother Van says in adoption, that says the Lord. Now this is that said the Lord. Now we didn't got no choice. You got to do it. It will take what? To put you in that place. The reason of this journey is that you become like God. And God is love. To put you in that place. For that all there and that all was there. No matter what money, how much religion, demonstration, how many good deeds you done or whatever you done, that won't count nothing in that day. It will take perfect love. So whatever you do, whatever we do, let's lay aside everything else until you are just so filled with the love of God till you cannot love those, that you can love those who hate you. I don't need to see hands, but how many are there? Yeah. Well, I confess. I mean, I got a little way to go. God is still working on me. Amen. Satan, Eden. They were holy, well. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. They had no death around them. Hallelujah. They had perfect love, one for another. Perfect life forever. They had perfect love, perfect understanding of God, of the love of God. They had God's word and kept it. And they were alive and safe in God's Eden with no death all around. So perfect love, perfect life, perfect understanding, perfect this, perfect that, perfect everything. That's what I want. That's what I'm striving to make it there, because everything is going to be what? Perfect. But, however, you cannot say, well, when I get there, God will make me perfect. No, it starts right here. This is the training grounds. God is training you. So you can have the same love that God has. That is coming to maturity. What is the headstone? It's God himself. God is love. But before that, what is the one before the headstone? Brotherly love. So we climb the, you know, the pyramid. You know, we acquire all those elements. But first, we have to love our brother. Because if we say we love our brother,
And we say we love God, but we don't love our brother, then we're liars. So, listen, I know we're not there yet, but let's start loving our brother first before we say that we love God. Brother Brown says, I prefer for you to love my children to love me. And I said the same thing. Because if you love my children, I know you love me. You know, if you love God's children, you love God. And that's all it is. The way you love one another, that's how you have the understanding of how God loves you. Because if you have an understanding of how God loves you and you use that understanding to love everybody else the same way, you cannot do no difference. Amen. Got to get paid up. Next one, image. Believe. Romans 8:29, from whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that might be the firstborn among many brothers or brethren. Now, the Messiah. You were fashioned in the image of God. What can you do when you let the God that fashioned you come into you and control you? Will he make you like him? Amen. You can bring every promise of God to pass. Amen. Yes, sir. Every promise of God, promise will come to pass. If you let the God that is fashioned, you are fashioned after him, you are a small Messiah. Is what he's saying. You are a small God. You and God are deity. See? And if that is happening and God is controlling you, then nothing will be impossible for you. Because nothing is impossible for God. But we need to be fashioned into his image. 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Brother Brown says in identification, God wants you. He don't want an idol. He don't need a robot. He wants you, you, and you, and me, he says. And God, he says, I got lost. You are the living image of what? Of God. See your responsibility, see your duty, see your position. Can you see your place, your response, your duties? You are a living image of God. What people are seeing when they meet you. What people are seeing when you talk to them. What people are looking at when you work at school. What are they seeing? They're seeing an image of God or they're seeing you. I don't want them to see Eli anymore. I want to see God in me. Amen. And you Protestant yourself it's out of my screen. Prostrate yourself before God. And he will fill you with himself. And you express him as looking, and you express him as a looking glass. You see, his church reflecting God and not ourselves. How much of you is you? Well, how much are you reflecting every day? Are you reflecting more you or are you reflecting more God? Just question, just to make you think. Because this is, we said that we are believers, right? Well, let's start acting like believers. Now, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Brand says, identification again, teenagers, what about that? You love the praises of the people. Sometimes we love the praises of the kids at school. We want to be like. We want to be part of the gang. We need to be part of the clique, you know. I don't blame you, you know. We all like to be like. It says, you love the praises of them people more than you love the invitation. Now, listen at this, because this just blew my mind. When you come to church on Wednesday, when you come to church on Sunday, this is what is happening. That you love the invitation you are given to mold your character into the image of the Son of God. The invitation, it says, what is that invitation? To come to church. Because this is the only place that God is going to mold you and shape you. You know, the preaching of the gospel will change you, will mold you, and will make you. So you are invited. You are invited every Wednesday and you invite every Sunday to come to church. For what purpose? To be molded and to be shaped to his character and to his image. How about it? He says, what about it? How can we do it? Oh my, can you see yourself identified, popular, loving? How about it? You know? So what I'm saying is, I mean, I wish we had this attitude. I mean, you know, Wednesdays, if we have this attitude, this church would be full. Well, everybody that belongs to this church. Why? I mean, if they're sick, is sick, if they're in vacation, I'm talking about that. If you understand that God has invited you today, tonight, not me, not brother, not Lord Divine, God has invited you, God has called you, has predestined, God has invited you today so he can shape you. That is an honor, and that is a privilege. How can we just take it so light? The God of heaven and earth has invited you so he can work on you and shape you. Not me. I got nothing to do. I'm just like you, a human being, your brother. Listen, if I take this preaching out there in the street and I tell anybody out there, anywhere, I have an invitation for you. And if you come, here's the day, this is the time, this is the place, and I promise you, I will shape you, not me, but I will promise you that we will shape you, we will mold you to the character of God. Most of you will lose your seats that day. Not you, I'm just talking in general. That we don't understand the privilege and the honor that we have to be sitting here tonight. God is working on you, not Eli. This is not about me. This is about him. When I read this, I almost blew my mind. You know, I'm invited, and I'm invited. God is inviting you Sunday because he wants to work on you. So, saying that, if we don't come to church, what happened? If we don't receive the invitation, that's God's plan. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to have to come and do like a school, do extra work. I don't know. Get the tape, and it's not the same. You're going to have to do some extra work to catch up. If you are really a Christian, you're going to have to do something. Because this is the opportunity that God is giving you to shape you and to mold you. And once this opportunity is gone, you know, I don't know. Can you get it back? I don't know. So you see how I'm looking for a word. I get it. This is what Brother Man says. Three kinds of believers. Look at myself over there in the glass of God's word. Where do I stand? See? Where do I stand? Look at his word. Do I see my image reflecting Jesus Christ? And that the person I see in the glass, is that the person I see in the glass? When you look at the Bible, because the glass is the Bible. When you read the Bible, you're looking at yourself. When you look at the Bible and everything that you read, if that's reflecting God, you can say, yeah, that's me. That's God in me. That's God in me. I'm doing this. I'm looking at a glass. See? The more you know of God, the more you know of yourself. The more God give you a glimpse of glory, you know him better, but then you know yourself better just as well. He said, do see any belief reflect? He says, do I see my image reflecting Jesus Christ? Is that the person I see in the glass? Do I see one of the believers of the Old Testament or the believers of the New Testament? Do I see a make believer? Do I see myself as an unbeliever that wouldn't stand and listen to the word and would take the denominational idea instead? Do I see myself hanging around trying to find a little loophole? A little loophole is just find an excuse not to do it. That's all it is. So when you look at the Bible, when you hear these things that I'm just telling you, and you see that glass, the word, we measure ourselves to that, not to each other. Right. Measure yourself to the word. What is showing you? Do you see yourself more and more to be like him or not? Is what Brother Brown is saying. Quickly, the next one is everlasting. Everlasting, I'm going to quickly. Everlasting. Everlasting means before the foundation of the world, we were in him. So we had no beginning and we had no end. A believer has no beginning, no end. So tell Satan, next time he come and bother you, I know your end. But I don't have no beginning and I don't have no end. See, I was in the mind, in his thoughts. And that's where I'm going back. Amen? I'm a gene of my father. And if I'm a gene of my father is God, well, what I am? You are a small God. So we eternal. We got no end. Endless. Perpetual. We're going to live forever and ever and ever. Amen. Everlasting. If you can believe that, then you are a believer. Quickly, I'm going to go. The next one is victor, victorious. Those who are victorious will sit with me in my throne, just as I was victorious. Now, this is the NIV. However, the King James says overcome. Okay? Those who are overcome will sit with me in my throne, just as I overcame and sat in my father's throne. But that word overcome in the NIV says victorious. Because for you to overcome, when once you overcome, you are victorious anyway. You cannot be victorious unless you overcome. you have to fight the enemy and win first before you can claim victory, right? Brother Brown says, people said, well, I got to get ready to die. Oh my, I'm getting ready to leave, Brother Brown said. You know, that's what I don't, when I came to America, is a little thing that I just never figured out. You know, Americans, in their language, in the way they speak, they are very negative. Oh, I'm dying to try this. When I heard that, I said, what? I'm living to try that. I'm not dying to try it. Well, I'm going to do that even if it kills me. When I heard all those things, I said, wow, the language, their language, English, is very negative if you use it. And that's what Brother Brown is saying. He's saying, please, I got to get ready to die. Oh my, I'm getting to ready to leave because see, we are not dying. We never die. If you are God and you're in God and you are a child of God, you never die. Just like I cannot die. But you know what we're talking about? Not the real you cannot die. Eternal. See, we're talking about victorious. The things of it is get ready to leave. Live in Christ. Victorious life over sin, death, hell. Already have the victory. How many victories you won today? I mean, the devil attacked me all week. 3 days ago, even worse, when I'm trying to prepare for sermons. I mean, all kind of thought comes to my mind. I mean, he fought me all the way to today. Well, I told Satan, doesn't matter. I'm going through to this. It doesn't matter what you said. Oh, but you're going to die in the pulpit. Well, if I die in the pulpit, I cannot die no more than God can die. Right. That's the American language, you know. But you're not going to make it. This hurt, that hurt. You're not strong enough. I said, but good, because it's my strength, not me, you know. You know, so I'm going through the tunnel. Are you saying that expression? I don't know if I told you. I think I did tell you. I have a problem, and my problem is that like brother has been preaching about being afraid. Now, don't tell me that you've never been afraid. We all are afraid of something. The point is to overcome, to be victorious, that. But since I was a child, I was afraid. I was afraid all my life. So what happened when I started growing up? I was afraid of everything. I mean, if somebody, I couldn't even go to the hospital because I, you know, those hypochondria, every time you see somebody that has something, you think you're going to, you have it, and, oh, it hurts, you know, and you think you're going to die. I thought I was going to die. I don't know how many times I died in this life. I think I have died more than I have lived. Brother Brown says, Mama says, a real Christian only dies once. And why is that? A coward would die a tons of time. But I would say I did that a lot. I lost the count. So not too long ago, about a few years ago, we went to New York, driving to New York, and I was almost close to. I was close, and you had to go through the tunnel. I forgot if it was Jersey. I don't know which one it was, but that one goes underneath the Hudson, you know, underneath the water. Boy, you know, Satan right away. I seen too many movies. Sorry, you know, when I was young. You know, about earthquakes and things falling and collapsing and water. I seen too much. Anyway, so I got so scared. I said, if we go through that tunnel is going to collapse and we're going to drown and we're going to die. And, you know, all kind of things, you know. I mean, Satan knows how to get the best of me. I'm getting better. So I got so paralyzed, you know, because fear will paralyze you, that I pulled in the McDonald's before I even went ahead. And my wife don't know that because I never share with her. I'm probably the first time she hears it. But the excuse was, I need to eat. I'm hungry. So we find McDonald's, and I bought me some stuff to eat. But I'm thinking, you know, my mind is going, racing. I'm afraid of something that maybe never happened, but I'm afraid, you know. When I get in airplanes, I'm anxious. I'm anxiety, everything. I mean, so I just sat there. I said, you know, if I don't go through there, I'm going to never get anywhere. You know, I'm this far. You think I'm going to quit right now, you know. So I told Satan, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to the tunnel. And that's when I start getting this kind of a feeling, that's what I tell Satan, I'm going to the tunnel. I don't care if he collapse, if he done it, that, but I'm going to the tunnel. So I got in the car and got busted enough, you know, gumption, and I went through the tunnel. And you would know what happened? Nothing happens. And that's what happened most of the time. We're afraid of something that never is going to happen. I'm going to get in this airplane and it's going to fall and it's going to explode in fire and then worry and sick and in the bathroom, in the toilet of the airplane all the time. And when you get there, then you say, well, nothing happened. Well, you wasted your time worrying about something that will never happen. But what about if it happened? Don't worry about it. Still, God said, don't worry. Anyway, just a little piece of me. So he says, people, you got to be ready to die. It says, is it getting ready to live? Or it says, we need to live a victorious life over sin, over death, over hell, already have. And then we have the victory. He is my victory, and I am his evidence. I don't know how you see yourself. Amen. But every time you have victory, you are an evidence that God exists. You see how much is riding on you guys? You guys, this is not just, you know, come to church just to come to church. It's more than just coming to church. It's having a relationship, a connection with God. That God will manifest himself. What God says, it will happen. You are the proof. God don't have all the legs and all the eyes and all the body. God needs you to prove that he's real. You are going to prove to the world that God exists. And one of these days, when everything is done, God is going to say, that's what I told you. Yeah. He's going to preview this bride and says, that's what he was there. Yeah. And we're going to say, that is my daddy. Amen. Brother Brown says, now be sure to do that. Place yourself that to God. God, by your grace, let me close this a little bit. It's too big. That's what I will do. No matter when anyone says evil, return good. It says, don't think evil. If you do think evil and you are just hypocritically saying it, see, then you're wrong. So that means you can think about it, you know, and not do it. You might think in something evil about somebody else. But your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your actions anyway. So just because you say, well, I thought it, but I never told them. Well, you're guilty, period. said, then you are wrong. You just keep on consecrating yourself to get to God until you really feel good to that person. That's the way to do it. Then the sweetness of God, blessing, will just, oh, it is just cover your soul. That's the way to live a victorious life. You know, people said that Brother Branham never had an enemy. You know? So he says, that's the way, well, he had an enemy. What I'm saying is, he treated everybody the same. So he says, you keep on consecrating your life, God, until you really feel good. He says, that's the way to live victorious. Then nothing can harm you as long as you are in what? In love. With God, of course. And with the people. You know, don't lose your heart, you know. Like Brother Branham, sometimes he lost his heart about wanting to go and be a trapper and go to the mountains. You know, he lost the heart for the people. Brother Branham says, take that what he gives you and fight sickness and sin. Fight unbelief away. Tell the devil he's a liar. Christ said he has overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Greater is the power of Christ in you than the sickness that you have in your body tonight. Greater is the power of Christ than that little besetting sin that you cannot overcome. Take the Holy Spirit and fight the devil down and walk out victorious as the heroes of the cross. A believer is victorious every day, not just one, because we're not fighting the entire battle. We fight little wars until we win the battle. Every day when you get up, it's waiting on you. The last one. For I know the thoughts, expectation. But I know the thoughts of your, the plans, you know. The thoughts that I think towards you, say God, the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. He says, what end? What, the final outcome? What is our final outcome? Well, restoration, complete restoration. See? Bring us back with him, to be with him forever and ever. That's my expectation. I'm waiting for my changeover body. That's my expectation. But this is what Brother Branham says. Dear Heavenly Father, we certainly deem this a privilege to be here today in the city of Los Angeles. Among these, the believer, the elected, that has been called out of the world, separated, children of God, and in this great hour that we are living, under this great expectation of the appearing of our lover, the Lord Jesus, at any time. Don't lose your enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. Live every day that he's coming today. That might help us live victorious. We thank thee for this in our heart that we believe that will come in our generation, and he will. We are looking for him today. If he isn't here today, then he will be tomorrow. We will be looking for him tomorrow. One more, and we are done. Let us bow our heads. Let us stand. Let me read this prayer from Brother Branham. You can stand. And let us bow our head, and I'm going to read this prayer. Let us bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we are assembled again in your name. With great expectation for the outpouring of the quickening power of God to bring us into recognition of our position and place. And our responsibilities as being called people, separated from the world, dedicated to God. As a believer, grant, Lord, tonight that the blessings of God will guide us and direct us in the things we do and say, that it might bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. So that is my little exhortation tonight.
Thank you for being so loved. So, believing, believe, live the way you believe. If not, we become hypocrites if we don't do that, because we are saying one thing and doing another one. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Brother Branham already prayed, so I'm ready. Let's sing that "Only Believe for Me" again, because I wanted to sing anyway. Just start me.
Believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Now you know what believe is. Only believe. All things are possible. Only receive. All things are possible, Lord, all we see. Everything He has for me, Lord, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Oh, I'm gonna make it.